My goal for today is in the Bava Metzia shir is twofold. One is chazara, and try to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And the other is to move on to Shmuel. That's the second part of this sugya. Now, in order to start our chazara in a more organized fashion, let's just go back for a moment to the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, and then we're going to fast forward to Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So in the Mishnah itself, we have the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and the case is the following. Motza Shtari Chov Im Yesh Ben Achrayis Nechosim Lo Yachsim. So you found the Shtar Chov. Now normally when there's Achrayis in the Shtar, the Malva takes the Shtar and he's gove from the Lekuchos. But here he dropped the Shtar. We found the Shtar. So once we find the Shtar and it's not in the hands of the Malva, then there's already a reis on the Shtar. We wonder about the Shtar. And the reis here, says the Mishnah, is since there's a chrayis in the Shtar, what's the reis going to tell me? That it's possible that by giving the Shtar back to the Malva, you'll be cheating the Lekuchos. The Malva, once he's granted the Shtar, and he has that as a very powerful weapon in his hand, he's going to collect from those buyers who purchased karka from the Lova. And we believe that there's something fishy about this Shtar, and maybe we're going to be collecting for the Lekuchos Shalo Kidin. And as we'll develop the sugya, we'll see that could be based on one of two possibilities. One possibility is that the Halva didn't take place, or at least it didn't take place on the time that's written in Shtar. The other possibility is something called Chayshina Lekinunya, which we'll hopefully get into as we go along. Now, what happens in the case of a Shtar She'en Bem Achrayis? Well, Rabbi Meir says that in this case, the Lekuchos lose nothing. Let's assume that the Lova is Moda, that he did not pay back the Chov. So Yachzir, what do we lose? It's a win-win situation by returning the Shtar to the Malva. Why? Because the Malva is powerless to collect from Lekuchos, because Rabbi Meir does not accept the principle that we'll see later on of Achrayis Tos Sofer. And if there's no Achrayis in the Shtar, the Lekuchos are not on the line. And on the other hand, the Malva himself is Moda that he owes the money. Chachom Omrim Benkach Ubenkach Lo Yachzir Mipnei Shebezdin Nifroim Mehem, which would seem to imply that even if the Shtar doesn't have a Chrayis in the Shtar, nevertheless we assume there is a Chrayis. So that's just to get the Mishnah down so we have the Mishnah. Now if we turn to Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, we have on the top of the Amud Rabbi Loza's interpretation of this machlokus in the Mishnah. And then we have a brisa. And this whole sugya here on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis is focused on comparing the brisa to Rabbi Loza. And we're going to see that there are two discrepancies between the brisa's record of the machlokus and Rabbi Loza's interpretation of the machlokus. Now what I would like to suggest is that we're going to switch around the order. Yesterday we did it the way the Gemara presents it. So we did that already yesterday. So we don't have to do it today. So I allow myself to switch around the order. What I'd rather do today is begin with the Braisa and then go back to Rabbi Loza. And that you'll see on this page where I charted it out, that's exactly what I did. I put the Braisa on top, which you'll see a little arrow there. And then midway through the page, you'll see another arrow, and that's Rabbi Eloza. And in both cases, we're trying to understand the machlokas between the Rabbana, the Rabbi Meir, and the Chacham. So we want to see first the Bryce's presentation of that machlokas. So if you have a standard text of Gemara Bavli, the way they had it back in Vilna. So you'll take a look at the first of the wide lines. Okay, so we're looking at the Braisa. Then we're going to go back to Rabbi Elazar.
I don't see the Braisa, I'm sorry.
Okay, you'll see the first of the wide lines. If you're on Yud Gimel Amid Beis, are we all on Yud Gimel Amid Beis? And we're on the first of the wide lines. The first word is Dishmuel Betarte. You see those two words? So the Braisa starts with the word Matzah. Matzah Shtaricho. Okay then. So let's begin. The Braisa orders it in the following way. First, the Braisa says, let's clear the air on an issue that's not a machlokas at all. And then we'll get to the machlokas. So the ratio of this Braisa is what I call lahakshir sakarka. You know, first we're just preparing the groundwork for the machlokas. Motzah shtarichov v'yesh ben achrayis nechosir. In such a case, then you and I would have said that afal pishishneim modim, if the malve and the love both agree that this shtar has to be collected, you and I would have said intuitively, so what do we lose by returning the shtar? Yeah, but there's only one problem. The shtar has a chrayis in it, which puts the lekuchos on the line. That's one problem. The second problem is that we found the shtar. I mean, if the malva was holding on to the shtar, smooth sailing. We'd have no compunctions whatsoever. Which is what I call, and we've mentioned this time and time again, tfisas bal shtar. Since in this case there's a reis on the shtar, we found it, we have to raise all different kinds of possibilities. And the possibility that's being raised here in the Braisa is what's called Chayshinon Lekinunya, which means the following, that despite the fact that the Lova and the Malva both agree that this shtar has not been paid up yet, it's possible that they're in cahoots, the Malva and the Lova, and since the shtar has a chrayus, they're going to use the shtar, and specifically the malva is going to use the shtar if we return the shtar to his hand, to collect from the lekucho shelo kedin. Because this is already a shtar which is called, the technical language is nimchal shibudo, but basically what it means is that if the shtar is already paid up, the lekuchos are off the hook. And yet, the malva now is such a powerful weapon in his hand that he can collect from the lekuchos with this shtar. And therefore, lo yachzer, lo lezeh, v'lo lezeh. We cannot return the shtar neither to the malva to the lova, because they're going to use the shtar. Again, we're really, choshed b'ksheirim here. We're really accusing or suspecting, I should say, the malva and the lova of working together in kahoot. So no matter who you give the shtar back to, you're going to put the lekuchos on the line for collection shelo kedin, because this is all a kenunya, because what's going to happen is the malva is going to be goved the karka from the lekuchos, and he'll make a deal, he cut a deal with the lova, they'll split the goods. That's called chayshina lekenunya. So if you take a look at my page over here, you'll see Roman numeral number 2. Now when I say Roman numeral 2, we're now dealing with the first half of the page. And this is the Braisa, in which we wrote that Ishtar Sheesh Bo Achrayus is Kuliyava Lo Pligi, everyone agrees, Lo Yachzir. Now you and I would have said, what do we lose by being Machzir the Shtar to the Malva? After all, the Lova is admitting that he owes the Chov. The answer is Chayshinon Lepiron Ulekenunya. Now we go back to Roman numeral number 1, which is on the top of your page, which is the Sefer of the Braisa. Because now the Braisa has cleared the path for the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and that is Ein Bahem Achrayis Nechosir. So we're talking about a shtar that has no achrayis in it. And now we're going to raise the following question: what is the status of a shtar milva that has no achrayis? So first we're going to see the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Bizman, now, Now let's clear the air about the following point. If the lova claims that he paid up this chov, then again, that's a hands, open and shut case. There's nothing to discuss. There's not even a havamina that we could return the shtar to the mouth. Why? Because the lover's claiming he paid it up. So how he can take a shtar, which the lover claims he dropped, and give it to the malva who claims that he dropped the shtar, and force the lover to pay up? That we can't do. All this is based on the resa and the absence of tfisas bala shtar.
So the case was Ebro Christ and the lover's mother.
No, I just wanted to clear the air that if it's ein halova moda, then everybody agrees. It's not even a thought that should cross your mind that there's no way, no how that we can return the shtar to the mouth.
Correct.
That's just Berzon's addition to the brackets in the brisa, so to speak. The brisa doesn't even address this case, but instead the brisa says the following. Again, there's no achrayus in the shtar. Bizman halove mode. What is the status of this shtar? So let's talk about Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is going to say the following. This shtar is not collectible from the lekuchos. Why? Because it has no achrayus in it. Which means that Rabbi Meir never accepted the principle of achrayus tos sofer. Okay, just put that in practice. We'll get to that in just a second. So as far as the lekuchos are concerned, we have no inhibition whatsoever to return the shtar to the malveh. Well, what about the lover? Well, the lover is admitting that he owes the shtar. So in such a case, comes along Rabbi Meir, and he says, Bizman shalove mode, yachzir lemalveh. Oh, he does spell out what I told you before. But the point is that according to the Braisa, we're getting now to the heavy duty ground of the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in a case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus. Because again, if it's a shtar she'yesh bo achrayus, then everybody agrees that we have to be choshish l'kinnunya because the lekuchas are on the line because it's yesh b'achrayus. So that's not an issue. You can't return a shtar to the malva according to anybody in this brisa if the shtar has a achrayus because we're choshish l'kinnunya. So even though the lova and the malva both tell us that this shtar has been paid up, we will not return the shtar. But in a shtar she'ein b'achrayus, here's where Rabbi Meir says nothing to lose. Why is it nothing to lose? We have to add the condition that the lov is moda, they didn't pay back. The lekuchas are off the hook because there's no achrayus and we're not holding achrayus tos sofer. The love, so what? Let the malva collect from the love. The love, by his own admission, says he never was parer the chov. Now you and I would have said pshita. I mean, I don't even need Rabbi Meir for that. The only reason I need Rabbi Meir is because of the principle of achrayus tos sofer. Shahay Rab Meir Omer, Shtare Sheyesh Bahem Achrayus Nechasim, Gove Minechasim Mishubadin. Okay, so if there's a Achrayus, obviously you collect from Mishubadin, but She'ein Bahem Achrayus Nechasim, what's the status of a Shtar that has no Achrayus? Well, guess what? It's a valid Shtar. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. And if it's a valid Shtar, then it's Gove Minechasim B'nei Chorot. So now we have to ask the Lover, well, what do you say about this shtar? If the Lover says, I paid up the shtar, we can't return the shtar to the Malva because that's a very powerful tool in the hands of the Malva to collect from the Lover. If on the other hand the Lover's Moda, then what do we lose by handing the shtar back to the Malva because we're holding now that there's no possibility of collecting from the Lekucha? So the whole invention of Chayshina Lepiron Ulekinunya is completely off the charts. It's completely irrelevant. Now you may ask me the following question: why do I need Rabbi Meir to tell me that this shtar without achrayus is a viable shtar to force the lover to pay up, so that we need the lover's hodah here if we want to return the shtar? And the answer is because of Rabbi Eliezer. That's going to be Rabbi Eliezer on the top of the Amud, that Rabbi Eliezer is going to come up with a theory that if the shtar is lacking achrayus, you can't even use the shtar to collect from the lova. Mm-hmm. It's a completely meaningless shtar, which reduces that whole issue to lotzer al pitzlichuso. But I'm just pointing out to you that, you know, when you read this line in the Gemara of the Brisa of Rabbi Meir, you begin to ask yourself the question, why did Rabbi Meir have to go out of his way to tell me that a shtar she'ein bo achrayus is gover min chosin b'nei chorin? I mean, obvious that's upgrade. You don't, I don't need Rabbi Meir to tell me that, but we're going to see that I do need Rabbi Meir to tell me that, and there's going to be another shita. Now, where did the Chachamim come in? And this is the main subject of the Braisa. We have machlokas in the Mishnah as to whether we return the shtar, and we're talking now about a shtar she'ein bo achrayus nechosin. Chachomim omrim echad ze v'echad ze gove min achasim mishubadim. In other words, to the same extent that everybody agreed in the case of a shtar sheyesh bo achrayus, even Rav Meir agreed, you can't return that to the malva because you might illegally collect from the lekuchos because it has achrayus and we're holding chayshinu lepiron. So too, according to Chachomim, even if there's no achrayus in the shtar, the same identical halach applies. Why? Because Achrayus tos sofer, and therefore we're going to write the Achrayus kaviyachal in the shtar, and then we're back to a shtar sheish bo achrayus, which we certainly cannot return to the malva because of the reis of the shtar. We found the shtar in the street, and therefore we're choshesh lekinunya, and that chashash is valid. So again, Rav Osai, both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the Braisa agree that if there's Achrayus, whether it's explicit in the shtar, according to Rabbi Meir, or it's implicit in the shtar, according to the Chachamim, once there's a price in the shtar, forget about returning the shtar to the malva, because both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim agree that chayshinon lekinunya. What then is the subject of the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? We're talking about shtar she'ein bo achrayus. And here the Chachamim say there is no such entity. There ain't no such animal in the universe. Of course, every shtar milva with two edim signed on it, by definition, is a shtar sheyesh bo achrayus. Whether you see it with your eyes or you see it with a halachic vision, because of achrayus tos sofer. So therefore, the Chacham right up front will say that if a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, which is a shtar sheyesh bo achrayus, cannot be handed down back to the malva because kaishinu lepiron lekinunya. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, says that there is such an entity as a shtar without achrayus, and don't blame the sofer for omitting achrayus. This shtar was given by the lova to the malva after two edim signed for the purpose of forcing the lova to pay up. The lova was mischayev that if the malva has the shtar, I will pay up that chov. And therefore, even though, according to Rabbi Meir, shtar she'ein bo achrayus, the lekuchos are off the hook, because there is no shibud in that was generated or written in the shtar, nevertheless, we have to deal with one issue, and that is collecting from the lova. And therefore, a mayor says you want to determine whether to return the shtar to the malva or not. It all depends on what words came out of the holy mouth of the lova. If he's saying, I owe this money, I never paid it back, so despite the fact that the malva dropped the shtar, which was that was a boo-boo, that was a no-no, but we'll return the shtar to him and he'll collect from B'nei Chori. What about the lekuchos? We're not worried about the lekuchos because the shtar has no achrayus in it. That's what Meir Shita. If, on the other hand, the lova denies that he paid back, denies that he owes the chov, and claims that he paid back the chov, then we can't return the shtar to the malva because that will give him a weapon to collect from the lova. Comes along the chacham and they say achrayus tos sofer. And therefore, even though the shtar has no achrayus, it has achrayus. So the whole machlokas, according to the Braisa, between Rav Meir and the Chacham really boils down to one issue, and one issue only, and that's achrayus tos sofer. Rabbi Meir never accepted achrayus tos sofer, and therefore shtar she'ein bo achrayus is a weapon in the hands of the malva only vis-a-vis the lova. If we solve the problem of the lova with hodas halova, then give the shtar back to the malva. And the Chacham hold that a shtar she'ein bo achrayus equals a shtar sheyesh bo achrayus, and if we hand back the shtar to the malva, the lekuchos are on the line, and chayshinon lepiron lekinunya. Everybody agrees chayshinon lekinunya. I'll prove it to you, because the Braisa tells us that if it's a shtar sheyesh bo achrayus, then even Rav Meir agrees, despite the hodas halova, that he owes the chov, we will not return the shtar to the malva. Even Reb Meir agrees in a shtar sheish bo achrayus. Why? Because chashina lekinunya lepiro. And now what we're about to do, Rav Osai, is go backwards up to the top of the Amud to analyze the machlokes between Chachom and Reb Meir according to Rabbi Lazar, and then we'll do a compare and contrast the two, and hopefully what we're going to find out is that there are two different contradictions between Rabbi Lazar's version and the Rabbi's version. Again, I'm fast forwarding just for a second. Nobody should listen to this. I'm just talking to myself. The Dovah Machlokas is going to be A, about the status of a shtar she'ein bo achrayis according to Rabbi Meir. Is it a valid shtar? Is it not? And B, about chayshina l'kinun. Okay, then, so now what we're up to is the second half of this page. Again, if this page helps you, take it. If it doesn't help you, just leave it out. Just put it in the rubbish bin. Okay. Omar Rabbi Lazar, on the top of the page. Machlokes. Now it's a little bit interesting because we in the Braisa we saw that the Braisa starts not with the Machlokes, but to clear the air about when there's no Machlokes. That's in Ishtar Sheish Bachrayus. Rabbi Lazar, on the other hand, starts with where is there a Machlokes? And then he goes on to the case where Kuliyamalo pligi that we don't return the shtar. So machlokes. Now here, if you see Roman numeral number one, and this I base myself on Rashi, is we're talking about a shtar she'ein bo achrayus. Okay, you'll see it in a minute in the Gemara explicitly, and we're talking about a case of ein chayav moda. So it means that the Lova is denying the Chov. Correct? The Lova is denying the Chov. And that you'll see. Just one second. Okay, I think I may have left out a line here. Let's see. Let's go through it again. Machlokes b'she'ein chayav moda. Is Rav Meir Sover Shtar She'ein Bo Achrayus the Chosim? I'm sorry. That's my own mistake. Now I'm in better shape. Okay. I was reading the wrong side of the page. Okay. So the Machlokes is now going to be about the case of a Shtar She'ein Bo Achrayus, and the Lov is claiming Mizuyav.
That's 182.
Okay, now if the Lov is claiming Mizuyov, that's going to open up a possibility, as we'll soon see in a minute, about Lotzer al Pitzli Chuso, that we're going to give the shtar back to the Malva because the Lov admits that it's not his shtar as far as the piece of paper is concerned. What's the Lov saying? If he's saying that the shtar is Mizuyov, he's denying the Chov. If he's denying the Chov, then we can't return the shtar to the Malva. Yes, we can return to the shtar to the Malva. Why? Because a shtar she'ein bo achrayus is worthless. And that's something that contradicts the Braisa. That's the first tiufta of the Braisa on Reb Loza. So let's read it inside. Machlokes b'she'ein chayav modeh. The Lov is saying mizuyav. Again, and the reason why I say mizuyav is because I want to make sure that we can understand why Rabbi Meir is going to tell us that we return the shtar to the malva if the shtar is worthless. The answer is that the lova has no claim to the shtar, even as what did you call it yesterday? It was a brilliant word. Wallpaper. He can't even claim it as wallpaper. And why is that? Because he says mizuyav. If he said parati, it would be a little bit more complicated because he's saying that he dropped the shtar and it's his wallpaper. The Rabbi Meir Sovar. Here's where Rabbi Meir is going to say that we can return the shtar. We can return the shtar. Okay. Right, just for my own sake, there's one thing that's common both to Rabbi Loza's version of Machlokes and the Bryce's version of Machlokes and the Mishnah's version of Machlokes is Rabbi Meir is the one who says Yachzi and the Chacham deny it. Again, in the in the Bryce's frame of reference, the reason why Rabbi Lozar, I'm sorry, Rabbi Meir says that Yachzir is because, just one second, the reason why Rabbi Meir says Yachzir is because he rejects Achrayis Tol Sofer, and therefore if there's no Achrayis in the Shtar, we don't lose anything if the Lov is Moda by giving the Shtar back to the Malva. But anyway, keep that point in mind. Just don't lose, you know, the forest for the trees. The Machlok stream, Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim is always going to boil down to whether we return the Shtar to the Malva. Rabbi Meir says yes, and the Chachamim say no. Oh, but right, according to, second, I just want to add a little bit of an arrow here, which helps me. Right, so again, according to the Braisa, let's not forget, the Machlokas is going to be about Achrayis Tol Sofer. That's according to the Braisa, which means that whereas Rav Meir is perfectly comfortable if the Lov is Moda to return the Shtar to the Malve, because there's no Achrayis in the Shtar, Chachamim say you cannot return the Shtar to the Malve because there is Achrayis in the Shtar. That's called Achrayis Tol Sofer. According to Rabbi Loz's version, the Machlokas is not in the case of Halov and Moder, correct? But rather in a case of Ein Halov and Moder, Ein Achayev Moder. So what is the claim of the Lova? He's saying Mizuyah. So Rabbi Meir, again, you have to say Mizuyah. There's no other possibility, because otherwise, right. Otherwise you're in trouble here. Because why would Rabbi Meir allow you? Let's say the wallpaper here is worth $10. Why would you give the $10 back to the Malva? The Lov is claiming Parati, and it's my shtar. I want the wallpaper. So the only way of learning it is Mizuyah. So don't try out not to confuse me. Okay. So the Lov is claiming Mizuyah. Okay. So the Lov is claiming Mizuyah. But wait a second. You're giving a shtar back to the Malva when the Lov is claiming Mizuyah? Hayitachen? How could you do such a thing? Now here Rabbi Lozar comes up with a whole new curveball in understanding Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir sover shtar she'ein bo achrayis nechasim, it's worthless. In a gova lo mi mishabdi v'lo mi b'nei chori. There's no loss by returning the shtar to the Malva, because the lova will not be held payable, you know, responsible in the case where there's no achrayis nechasim. We had a long discussion about this yesterday. The bottom line was that the edim have violated the protocol of shtaros, which makes it into edus d'ksav, and it's not a shtar. And therefore, if it's not a shtar, it's not collectible, even from whom? Even from the lov. No, if it's not collectible and it's worthless, why are you bothering returning it to the Malva? For wallpaper. How can you return it to the Malva, not to the lov? Because the lov is claiming mizuyah. Okay, so far so good. For Rabbanan Savri. Now here I think I would like to read the parentheses. I don't know, usually I skip the parentheses, but let's read it with the parentheses. Rabbanan Savri, mimishabdi hu delo gavi, mibnei chori migbagavi. Maybe if you take it out, it's understood by without it. I don't know, but as far as I can tell, whether we read it in the text or we understand it in the text, it's got to be part of the text. Which means that according to the Chachamim, there's no way, no how, that you can return the shtar to the Malve, because again the Lova is denying, he's saying Mizuyah. How can you return the shtar? So you're telling me, well, since it didn't fill with the protocol of Achrayus, therefore we're going to throw out the shtar. The Chacham never accepted that. They held that if you left out Achrayus, is mimashabdi lo gavi, mimichob
chori gavi. Wait,
Rabbi
Lozar holds in the Chacham that you don't say Achrayus to
suffer. Correct. Achrayis Tol Sofer is completely out. Nobody's holding Achrayis Tol Sofer.
Okay.
Right, so therefore the Rabbanu would say, give the shtar back to the mal. The lekuchas are off the hook. Why? Because what kind of shtar is it? Shtar shein b'achrayus. But guess what? There's no way, no how that we can give the shtar back to the malveh, not because of the lekuchos, but because of the lova. The lova himself is denying the chov. He's claiming, I never even borrowed the money. I never saw this guy in my life. The whole thing is gebluffed. So how could we possibly give the shtar back to the malveh? But on the other hand, if kishachayev moda, the lova is admitting that he owes the chov, is divrei hakol yachzir. Now watch what happens here. According to Rabbi Meir, we're going to give the shtar back to the malva. Just one second, let me just make sure for wallpaper. Just give me a second to make sure I got this. According to Rabbi Meir, so when the Gemara says divrei hakol yachzir, the divrei hakol yachzir is a little bit misleading. You have to read that in one breath. Yeah, this is like reading Aseres Pnei Haman. You got to read it in Neshima Achas. It's divrei hakol yachzir v'lo cheshin l'piron l'kenunya. I'll tell you why you have to read it in one breath. It's a little bit misleading because if you take a break, you know, take a pause after the words divrei hakol yachzir, you might come to the mistaken conclusion that both the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir are returning the shtar to the malveh for the same reason or for the same purpose. That's not true at all. Why? Because it works like this. Again, I don't know if this is enough kamina la'alocha so much, but let's think about it. According to the Chachamim, we're going to return the shtar to the malveh because betor shtar. Do you follow what I mean by betor shtar? Not betor wallpaper. Right. Now you might argue, well, you know, why are you making a big deal about that? If anyway the lov is moda, the answer is today's moda, but tomorrow he's going to say parati. So this is a very big deal that according to Chachamim, yachzir, which means that the shtar now is an effective shtar in the hands of the malva to collect from the lova. And the only reason we're doing that is because the lova is moda. So basically, when the lova is moda, then it sort of recreates or reactivates what I call tfisas bala shtar, which means that the lova is never going to be able to say parati as long as the malva is holding on to the shtar. So it's almost like we're turning the clock back to the moment in which the lova commissioned the two eidim to sign the shtar, and then the lova gave the shtar over to the malva. That's exactly what's happening, because the lova is admitting that it's a shtar.
But if he changes his mind?
If he changes his mind, he's in deep trouble, because the malva is holding on to the shtar. That's called shtar chaviyotcha, my boy.
But Fred, but that's exactly why maybe we shouldn't give it back to the malva.
An excellent question. Let me think about that. Why do we give this shtar back to the malva when the lova tomorrow? I'll tell you what it is. There are two dinim here in the hodas halova. One din is that I owe it to you now, and the second odor is on the shtar itself. Wow, that's an interesting piece of lumbus. I owe you one, Alan, because I didn't think this out. Do you hear? There are two dinim in the hodas halova. Number one, the lova is admitting that I owe you the chov now. Number two, the lova is admitting that the shtar is the shtar kosher, that I commissioned the eidim to write the shtar and I handed over the shtar to the malva. Once it's such a hodor, then the shtar gets the tokef of a shtar, and we completely bridge or neutralize the problem of the absence of tefisas bala shtar. Instead of the absence of tefisas shtar, the lova is starting the whole process from the beginning, and he's giving over the shtar to the malva. Now you may ask us, well, what about the poor lekuchos? The answer is, there's no achrayus in the shtar.
Right.
Nobody's holding achrayus to sofer, so the lekuchos are off the hook. So this is a total exclusive halacha of the relationship between the lova and the malva, and in the context of that relationship, the lova is giving the shtar back to the malva. Once the lova says, "I didn't pay you up," this was the shtar that testifies on the halva. In effect, I don't mean physically; he's returning the shtar to the malva.
Now that you also play.
Great. Just one second. I don't want to lose my trend. So again, that's according to the Chachamim. Is that yachzer? That's not Rabbi Meir. Why? Because Rav Meir's yachzir is lotzer al pun pitz lichusam. Because Rav Meir holds that a shtar that doesn't fit the protocol of achrayus cannot be collectible even from Bnei Chori. which means that we're giving the shtar back to the malve. The shtar cannot be used to force the lover to pay up. Just 1 second. The lover himself, just 1 second. The lover himself is mode. Correct? Right? We're talking about a case of the lover's mode. So then the lover will have to pay out of pocket. But what kind of halva do we have here on both sides? It's a milv al peh. It's a milv al peh. Yeah, wait a second. You see, what do I mean it's a milv al peh? Even according to Rachamim, because we're not holding a Christ to Sofer, it's a milva bal peh. What do I mean it's a milva bal peh? It means that the lover has to pay the chov, but there's no shibud, because there's no Christ in the shtar, correct? But what are the Chachamim saying? The Chachamim are saying that the lover is removing from himself, we'll say it in fancy language, he's mafkia from himself, a schus tainus parati. He will no longer have a tainus parati as long as the malva has the shtar, because as we said before, according to Chachamim, the lova is handing the shtar back to the malva. What would be, according to Rabbi Meir, in a case where tomorrow, after today, you return the shtar to the malva, the lova says parati? He would be believed. And why is that? Because since the shtar is not a shtar, there's no shtar chav yod chamay boy. The love is believed to say parati. And basically what we're saying is you've completely neutralized tfisas bala shtar, because there is no bala shtar, there is no shtar. So the whole reason why a love is not believed to say parati is because of tfisas bala shtar. But this is not a shtar. Why are you bothering returning it? Lotzal pitzli chusam. So Rabosai, you know, I would stop the brisa right here and raise an objection. I say, Rebbe, when you wrote this brisa, you were a little bit misleading to me, because you wrote divrei hakol yachzir. I mean, there's a fundamental difference here between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. The yachzir in Rav Meir is just lotzer al pitzli chusa, but there's no claim against the lov. Again, the lov is modus, so he has to pay now, but tomorrow he's going to say parati, he's going to be believed. Masha'enkein, according to Chachamim, this is a valid shtar, ligvos mi b'nei chori, and the lova activates the shtar through his hodah. We will return the shtar to the malva, and the lova is not going to be believed tomorrow to say parati unless he ripped up the shtar. But what I think is that you have to read this b'neshim achas. Let's read it b'neshim achas. Divrei akol yachzir v'lo chayshina l'pirona l'kenunya. In other words, what's happening here is that, just 1 second, what kind of, we're talking about, just 1 second. Now it's a little bit confusing to me, just 1 second. We're talking about Ashtasha Einbo Achrayus. So what does it mean, what does Gemara mean by Lo Chai Shinon Lepiron Ula Kenunya? Just 1 second, give me a second to clear, because that doesn't seem like the appropriate statement over here. We're talking about a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, correct? Ein chosh shem par alo ves chov v'mashu mode u'kenunya ma'lo tzis chosh v'kuchos.
Ein bo achrayus, but you're
still... I don't get it. There's no achrayus. Are we holding achrayus?
You still can collect the karen. You still collect from the lover.
No, I get it. You're allowed to collect from the lova according to Chachamim, because the Chachamim validate the shtar and he's mode.
There's no toes. There's no toes.
So what does it mean? Lo chayshin lekenunya. What did I miss over here? Lo chayshin lekenunya.
Yeah. So what's
the kenunya? Just 1 second.
There's no
kenunya
because there's nobody to collect from except from the lova.
Yeah, but I'm saying what does that have to do with kenunya? Kenunya means that if the lekuchas are on the line over here, then we have to clear back and forth. Are we chosh lekenunya? Not chosh lekenunya. But I understand we're talking about a shtar shein bo achrayus. What does it mean?
There's no case of
what does it mean? Divrei akol. I don't. Just 1 second. I'm missing a piece of the puzzle. Well, I thought I had.
Maybe it supports those rishonim who take out those words and hold it. The chomo do say tov sofer. And therefore, migbagoyim means both.
Oh, okay, but you're a step ahead of me. I just want to know those who read these words, how do they understand these words? Just one second. See, that's the footnote, I think, on the flip side. Am I right? Did I photocopy those footnotes for you on the flip side? Just one second. Ah. That's the flip side. But at the end of the footnote number Yud, he says, Abishtash Eshach Rayus, Shachai Modira Kol Yachzir, because the Lokai Shin Lepiron. Yeah, that I understood. Star Sheyesh Bo Achrayus. Just one second. No, that's not a good idea here. Because that footnote is on Rav Elazar, am I right? Just get myself oriented here. That footnote is on Rav Elazar. Correct, on Rav Elazar. So what are we talking about now? We're talking about a shtar she'ein bo achrayus. And what happens here? The machlokas Rabbi Meir the Chacham is a shtar sheyesh bo, is a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, correct? Shtar she'ein bo achrayus is even though the lova was. Rabbi Meir holds that what? Again, according to Rabbi Meir, if the lova says mezuyof, then we can return the shtar to the malve b'toras lots al pitzli chuso. And the chachamim say no. If the lov is denying the chov, then how could you return the shtar, which is now collectible from the lov? That's what I understood. Now he says avol k'shechayev modeh. Chayev Mode. Again, we're talking about a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, correct? Avol k'shechayev Mode. What's k'shechayev Mode? Means in a case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, no?
Right. But there's one possibility.
So wait a second. Wait, just one second. If it's a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, and the Lova is Mode. I'm just going to read this here. Ein choshin shema pora halova. Umashu modu kinunyem amalva. What does that mean? Oh, so yes, unless the blood is holding a Christ to sofa. Just one second. And now he's holding that what? Who holds a Christ over? Everybody holds a Christ over. Chiz for the Rebbezu. Shalom Rod Shal Yidei Shtar Karkos Alov Meshubodus Lipon Achov Machzim Nez Shtar Lamalve Ve'ein Choshin Le Kinun Uma She Nemar She'ein Choshin Le Piron Kinun Rak Le Babonon Ave Meir Ein Ashtar Roy Le Gvio Klal Ve'ein Bo Shum Chashash. That's he says, I don't know, he calls this rove, he showed him, this is a really complicating matters for me. The Shitas Rashi, maybe this will go easier. So I'm reading footnote number Yud, which you have there on the other side of your page, but halfway down. On the Shitas Rashi, Shel Rabbanon, Ein Govim Bo El, Min Chosim B'nei Chorim. Is b'shtaras elo shayach chashash kinunya gam l'rabbonim? Oh, sachidushu she'ein choshishin shema pora halove. Oh, this is wild. He's introducing a whole new element here into the equation. Ein choshishin. Just one second. Ein choshishin. Shema pora halove. Just one second. right? Pora halove. Yeah, the love is saying that he owes the chov, but maybe you should suspect that the love actually paid up the chov. V'shachach shepora. He says he forgot that he paid the chov. Again, this is a whole new element into the equation. V'shachach shepora. U'mash om rab loza shen chosh lekinunya. Just 1 second. So again, what are we talking about? We're talking about a shtar shein bo achrayus. And according to the Chachamim, the shtar is valid to collect from Bnei Chori, and the love is moded that he owes the chov. So he's saying the chiddush is that we're not kosher. He said maybe he already paid the chov, and he doesn't remember that he paid the chov. Okay, fine. Umasha Omar Rab Loza Shain Khoshla Kinunya Kavanoso Lishtara Shiyesh Ben Achrayus Nechasim.
If you learn this,
you have to add a whole piece here into the Gemara. You understand? It's like there's a line in the Gemara that's completely omitted that we're going back to Ishtar Shiyesh Ben Achrayus Nechasim. And what are we going to say? If the Chayiv is Modzir, it's called Yatsir. Even in shtar, sheyesh bahen achrayus. You see, I wrote on my page that what? Let's see what I wrote on the page. Shtar sheyesh b'achrayus v'alovim et l'kuli alma.
You would never give two of them.
Yatsik shalom mode. Even it has achrayus because we're not choshesh l'piron. So that's the second half of this note. Masha omer ablos ein chosh l'kenunya kavanoso b'shtaros sheyesh b'achrayus. Yeah, because if it's Ein Ben Achrayus, there's nothing to talk about. The Lekuchas are not even on the line, so the whole discussion about Kenunya is irrelevant. So he's saying, I don't know if he's quoting somebody, maybe he's quoting Tosus, I don't know. He's saying that this Chiddush of Lochai Shina LeKenunya is in the case of Ishtashi Yeshba Achrayus. I mean, the brisa has to be rewritten a little bit clearer, but sheyesh ben achrayus shegam bohem kishachayev mode ledira kol yachzir sharei ledaito koin to Rablozer kol a mishnah dibra b'she'ein chayev mode, right? Because that's the machlokas here is b'she'ein chayev. Just 1 second. Kol a mishnah. Okay, I keep looking at the wrong half, so I need to highlight this. Okay, so the case is Ein Halove Mode.
But then he changes his mind.
So just 1 second. Ein Halove Mode. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, it's only an issue of Lotzo Pitzli Chusa. According to Chacham, it's a valid shtar. We can't give the shtar back. Is then just 1 second. Mashal Rav Loza ain't choshen kavanos l'shtar sheyesh lemachrayus shegam b'hem kishachayev mode is ledivrei akol yachzir shalei ledait kol mishne divro kisha ain chayev mode. Right, that was the machlokes. B'gam a resha sheshtar. She yesh b'achrayus l'divrei kol lo yachzir because of ein chayev mode. We said it was a shtar she'ein b'achrayus. Now he's saying it's a shtar she yesh b'achrayus. U'mashma shekshechayev mode is l'divrei kol yachzir. Afilu b'shtar she yesh b'achrayus. Now this is what he gets from Tosfos. All right, just to make a long story short here, this last line in Rav Lozar, where Kishachayev Moda Lochai Shinon L'Kiro L'Kinunya, is a little bit problematic, to say the least. And the way that apparently Tosus is going to learn this line, and we didn't go through the Tosus, that I admit, but the way he has it here in the summary, it's going to be a case of a Shtar Sheyesh B'Achrayus. Okay, fine. So now, wait a second. What time is it? I just want to make sure.
It's
already 12:30. I just wanted to make sure that we can see why there's a double tufta on Rabbi Loza. The two steers here from this brisa to Rabbi Loza. Let's see. Okay, now where can we pick this up? Oh, Tiyuvta de Rabbi Loza v'chada. If you want to follow that inside, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up from the bottom. If Tiyuvta de Rabbi Loza v'chada, the Omar, because Rabbi Loza holds that l'Rabbi Meir, Shtar she'ein bo achrayas nechosim ein agovim minechosim mishubadim v'lo minechosim b'nei chorin. That was Rabbi Lazar's position. Okay, just one second. And that's the way Rabbi Lazar interprets Rabbi Meir. And therefore there's no problem returning the shtar. Okay. And now, just one second. Uka Amar, just one second. Bein Rabbi Meir, Bein Rabbanon, Lo Chayshin. Oh, these are the two points that the Braisa contradicts. Point number one is, what's the status of a shtar? Shein Bo Achrayus. Is it collectible from B'nei Chori? Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Loza's transmission, says it's not collectible from B'nei Chori. And the Braisa says that it's a perfectly good shtar. As far as B'nai Chori is concerned, let's go back to the Braisa. Because the Braisa says that in the case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, then according to Rabbi Meir, in the case where the Lova denies that he owes the chov, we cannot return the shtar, because the shtar is a shtar kosher. And that's against Rabbi Loza, because Rabbi Loza holds it according to Rabbi Meir, the shtar is worthless. And if we return it, according to Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Loza's thing, it's only Lotzer al pitz lichusa. That's point number one. And point number two is that the Braisa holds. So Braisa Ketoni, let's just read it inside. Just one second. So you see Braisa Ketoni, where is that? Braisa Ketoni, just one second, I lost the place. I don't know, for some reason I'm not seeing the words Braisa Ketoni. Ketoni. One second.
End of the fourth line.
Fourth line up from the bottom. Oh, there it is. Uvraisa Ketoni, thank you. Ishtar she'em b'achrayis nechosim mimashabdi udalogam mibnei chorim migvagovim. Good. So that's number one. Then we go on to number two, and that is Ketoni, Uketoni. And furthermore, the Braisa says the following: Bein le Rabbi Meir, Bein le Rabbanon, Chayshinon le Kinnun. And how do we know that the Braisa holds Chayshinon le Kinnunya? Because the Ketoni, it says that if you find the shtar v'yesh me machrayus, afal pi shneim modim lo yachzer lo lezeh v'lo lezeh. Correct, because according to the Braisa, the machlokus is going to be in a case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, but in the case of shtar she'yesh bo achrayus, everybody agrees, both Rabbi Meir and the Chacham, that you don't return it to the Malva, because of chayshinu l'piron, alma chayshinu l'kinunya. So that's another machlokus against Rabbi Loza, because Rabbi Loza was the one who says that, according to Rabbi Loza, he says, no, we're not choshish l'pirunya. And we even went as far as to say that in case of a shtar she'yesh bo achrayus and the lov is moda, we'll return the shtar. I mean, that was the tosis that we just discussed 5 minutes ago. and obviously lo chayshina lekinunya. So when the lov is moder that he owes the money, everybody, both Chacham and the Rav Meir say that we give back the shtar to the malva. I mean, it's a shtar sheish bo achrayus. Or if you hold the shtar sheish bo achrayus tol sofer, and yet we're going to return the shtar to the malva. He's going to collect from the lekuchos. So the answer is we believe in man, we have faith in man, and we're not choshish for kinunya. So we have a double machlokas. So the next piece of the Gemara is to show why it's called tiyuvta the Rav Elazar b'chad, that basically, I mean, just to get the overview of it, we'll have to go through it a little bit more in detail. What happens is that once Rabbi Elazar set up the machlokes as to what's the status of a shtar which doesn't have a chrayus, Rav Meir completely invalidates the shtar, and therefore you can return it to the malva. So even though the lov is claiming mezuyah, if you return it to the malva, and the chacham sona, it's a valid shtar. So memela, in a case where ain a lov a moda, just one second. No, I'm sorry. In the case of halov a moda, everybody agrees that you can return the shtar. Why? Because lo chayshin lepiron. So it's really the conclusion of Rabbi Elazar that lo chayshin lepiron is a result of the fact that he set up the machlokas in the case of shtash ein ba'achrayus, which means in shtash yesh ba'achrayus, everybody agrees that if the lov is moda, we can return the shtar because lo chayshin lepiron. The fundamental issue here between the Braisa and Rabbi Elazar is going to be about the status of a shtar she'ein ba'achrayus. Is it considered a valid shtar or is it not? And Rabbi Meir is going to hold you could be machzir the shtar because the shtar is not worth anything. He cannot use the shtar against the just one second. What did I just say? I don't know what I said. Okay. So you don't know what I said either, so that's good. We're all on the same ground. According to Rabbi Elazar, the machlokas is going to be about the case where the lova denies, and he says it's mezuyah. And Rabbi Meir is going to say you can return the shtar because Rabbi Meir has this halacha that if there's no achrayus in the shtar is posel. You can't collect from them. And the Chachamim saying that no, the shtar is kosher to be gover from Bnei Chori. Once Rabbi Elazar is committed to say that the machlokas is in the shtar shein bo achrayus as to whether or not the shtar is valid or not valid, Rabbi Meir doesn't mind returning the shtar because the shtar is in any event not valid. The Chacham say, how can you return the shtar if the lova is not moda and the shtar is valid to collect against the lova? Then Memela, in a case where the lova is moda that he paid back the chov, there's no machlokas. Right? Because Rabbi Elazar is, again, everyone, both the Braisa and Rabbi Elazar is committed that there's a single machlokas. The question is, what is the case of the machlokas? Is it lova moda or lova not moda? According to Rabbi Elazar, the machlokas is in a case where the lova is moda, whether we could return the shtar to the malva. And Rabbi Meir says no loss because, according to Rabbi Elazar, the lova is denying the chov, right? So, but there's no loss to returning the shtar to the malva because the shtar is posel. And Chacham say, what do you mean? The shtar is kosher ligvos bo b'nei chori against the lova. Then Memela, according to Rabbi Elazar, there's no machlokes in the case of moda lova. Everybody agrees you can return the shtar because naively we believe that no one's lying over here. And the malva and the lova not in kahoots and lo chayshin lekinunya. On the other hand, the Braisa says that the machlokes is in a case not of ein halova moda, but rather in a case of halova moda, right? And the question is, in the shtar shein bo achrayus, do we assume tol sofer? Do we not assume tol sofer? Is memela in a case of, according to the Braisa, in a case where the lova is denying the chov, then we have the problem of chayshin lekinun. So basically, the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Braisa boils down to this: are we arguing? Is Rabbi Meir and Chacham arguing about the case of the lova? Let's go according to Rabbi Elazar, where the lova denies the chov, and on the other hand, the Raisa holds where, that the Machlokas is in a case where the Lova admits that he owes the money. So if you're looking at my chart over here and you want to just upgrade it a little bit, so when it comes to the Braisa, then what you want to do is you want to highlight under Rabbi Meir that the Lova is Moda. You see where it says Halova Moda? So you know, we're going to highlight that, because that's going to be the Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Okay? And now if you're down to Rabbi Lazar, then you're going to underline or highlight the words Afal Pisha Ein Alova Moda. And that's going to be the Machlokas. And the Chacham are going to say that if the loaf is not Moda, how can you return the Shtar? Because this is a valid Shtar, whereas according to Rabbi Loz's interpretation of Meir, this is not a valid Shtar. So everything really flows and emanates as far as the Chayshin L'Piron, or Lo Chayshin L'Piron, L'Piron L'Kanunya, it really hinges on this one Machlokas. Is the issue between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim an issue in a case where the Lova is Moda, and that's the Braisa, or in a case where the Lova denies, when he says Mizuyov, and that's going to be Rabbi Loza. Okay then? Alright, so that's what we have so far.
You need it to okay. Say. You need it to